If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like to preach to you from one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible, Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter number 14. I'll give you a moment to find your place there in Numbers chapter 14. Good job, Kylie and Carter. That was great. If you have Numbers chapter number 14, I'd like to preach to you tonight on the subject, the prayer of a righteous man. The prayer of a righteous man. Let's pray and then we'll get started in the Word of God. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You for the privilege that we have to be in Your house tonight. Father, I thank You for the Word of God and how even things all the way back in the beginning of the Bible are still relevant today. And we can find help for our souls throughout every book of God's Word. And Lord, I pray tonight that You would both challenge and encourage us from Your Word. We'll thank You and praise You for all that's said and done in this place, for all that You'll do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to Numbers chapter 14, we find the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings once again. They've been wandering in the wilderness for year after year, and finally they reach the place in Numbers chapter 14 where they stand on the edge of entering into the promised land. And Moses has just sent out his 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. And as they return and give a report of what they had seen, two of them at that point were ready to immediately go in and take the land. However, there were 10 which gave an evil report. In fact, look with me at chapter 13, at the end of chapter 13 in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." We come to chapter 14. The spies have returned. Two were ready to go in and possess the land. They had trusted in God and God's promise. But 10 had returned only seeing the obstacles that were in the way. They saw the walled cities and the giants that were in the land, and they were discouraged. And they come back to the nation of Israel and give an evil report. As we begin in chapter 14, we're going to go verse by verse through the first part of this chapter. We find in the beginning of chapter 14, Israel's disobedience. Listen to their response in verse number 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt." What a sad response we find. After all of their longing, after all of their looking forward to enter into the promised land, they find themselves with broken spirits. Verse 1 said, "And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." There was a spirit of brokenness as we come to Numbers chapter 14. They literally had allowed this evil report to break their spirits. They had looked for and longed for entering into the promised land. For year after year after years, they wandered in the wilderness. And now as they stand on the brink of coming in, they allow a simple report to be all that stopped them from going into the promised land. God had already promised it to them. But as the spies returned, the obstacles in their mind were too great for God to handle, and their spirits were broken. In verse number 2, we find their disobedience. The Bible says they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, as was common for them to do when difficulty came. We see the wanderings of the children of Israel, how time and time again, when things got tough, When it was inconvenient, they would murmur and complain against God and against God's man, Moses and Aaron. Friend, how often is it that you and I murmur and complain, even when we know we're right where God wants us, we're right in the center of God's will, but because it may not be easy, it may not be convenient, we find ourselves murmuring and complaining like the nation of Israel. They were right where God wanted them to be. God had led them thus far to the brink of the promised land. They were in God's presence. God was with them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They were in the presence of God. And yet they found themselves murmuring and complaining. The obstacles in their mind were too great. And if we're not careful, even though we're in God's will, right where God wants us, we find ourselves guilty as the nation of Israel of disobedience. In fact, the disobedience was so great, the Bible said in verses 2 and 3 that they longed for Egypt rather than where God was. Look in verse 2, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God that we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" They said in verse 4, "Let's make a captain. Let us return into Egypt." Friend, I don't understand that tonight. Their disobedience was so great that they wanted to return into Egypt more than they wanted to remain in the very presence of God. God had delivered them from the nation of Israel. It was God that had led them into the wilderness. It was God whose presence was with them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It was God who had led them out of Egypt by a strong hand. This nation witnessed with their own eyes the mighty miracles that were wrought in Egypt as God sent the plagues through Moses. They had saw more miracles and more things by God's hand than you and I probably have ever seen. They witnessed the miraculous miracles of God. And yet, now they desire to return to the land of Egypt away from God's presence. Their sin and their disobedience was great. They had often murmured against Moses and against Aaron. If you read and you study up on their wanderings through the wilderness, this was not the first time this had happened. They had made a habit of complaining against God and complaining against Moses and against Aaron. But this time was a little different. This time, we read in verse 4, it was not just talk. Verse 4, they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt." This time, they had their minds made up to return to Egypt. It wasn't just talk. They had already decided in their own hearts, "We're going to make a captain and we're going to return back into Egypt." Friend, how easy is it for you and I, when we fall into sin, we attempt to flee from God's presence rather than run to Him for forgiveness. We find Israel had fallen into disobedience. They were discontent, unhappy with how things were going. The obstacles were so great in their minds that they were broken-spirited as they looked at the promised land, and their desire was to flee from the presence of God rather than run to Him for help. If we're not careful, we find ourselves, when we fall into sin, we try to hide from God and we try to run, when the truth is we should run to Him. Stay in God's presence and allow Him to do a mighty work in our lives. In the first four verses, we find Israel's disobedience. Look with me at verse 5. We find a reminder of God's promise. In verse 5, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." This next passage of verses we find here is Joshua and Caleb stilling the people, and they seek to remind them of God's promise. Joshua and Caleb was seeking to remind Israel that God had already promised to them the land. He reminds them here, that if they would, if the Lord would delight in them, He would give them the land, a land which floweth with milk and honey. You know, it's interesting that the nation of Israel doubted God in this area. It's interesting that because of the evil reports, they lacked faith that God would deliver them into the land when God had already proven His word to be true. God had promised them long ago that the land would be good. The land would flow with milk and honey. And the spies themselves went into the land and they saw that it was an exceeding good land. They admitted it. They saw that it did flow with milk and honey. God's word had already been proven. Everything He said about the land that was true ended up being true. The fruit was exceeding good, just as God had said. You remember the clusters of grapes and how they had to bear them on their shoulders. Friend, the promised land was everything God promised it to be, and they saw that with their own eyes, yet they doubted that God could deliver the giants and the walled cities into their hand. The truth is, because God's word is true, all they needed to do, all that they had to do was walk in and possess the land. It was theirs for the taking. God had given it to them. God would fight for them. God would deliver the people into their hands. All they had to do was walk in and take it. It was theirs. And God would give it to them just as He had promised. He was right about how good the land was. And the people admitted how good the land was. So why in the world would they doubt God's ability to give them the land? We find in these next few verses, they were reminding the people of God's promise. Joshua and Caleb pleaded with them in verse 9. Look at verse 9. They plead with them, "Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." You can see Joshua and Caleb as they stand before an entire nation of broken-spirited people, and they're pleading with them, "Remember God's promise. Trust in God. Don't rebel against the Lord. He's with us. He's able. He's promised. We can take the land. Let's go." And they plead on behalf of God's people. They trusted God. They were ready to go in. They believed that because God had promised it to them, then God would keep His word and deliver the promised land into their hands. And they pleaded on behalf of the people. But unfortunately, we find in verses 10 through 12 a sad response. And God's anger was kindled against the nation of Israel. For all of their pleading, look at verse number 10. "And all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they." In verses 10 through 12, we see God's anger kindled against His people and a heartbreaking response. Joshua and Caleb, the two who had a good report, the two that believed God, came before all the people, and for all of their pleading with Israel, for all of their reminding them of God's promise, there was a heartbreaking response. They were refused. They refused to hearken unto the words of Joshua and Caleb. The nation of Israel was so distraught, so broken up about the obstacles that they would face, that their eyes were focused on the giants of the land. Their eyes were set on the walled cities, and all they could see, all that their eyes were focused on, was how difficult it could be. Their eyes should have stayed upon the Lord God. He had led them thus far. He had already delivered them out of the mighty nation of Egypt. God had already delivered them time and time again. He provided for them in the wilderness. He gave them food when they needed food and water when they needed water. If they would keep their eyes focused upon God, they could walk right in and possess the land. Yet, they were so busy, focused on all the things around them, all the circumstances, all the trials, all the difficulties, the giants and the walled cities captivated them and took their eyes off of the Lord God. Friend, can I tell you tonight, those giants and those walled cities are nothing to our great God. Had they had faith as they ought to have had, they would have enjoyed the blessings of the promised land in just a few days. They could have enjoyed the milk and the honey that flowed throughout the land. They could have enjoyed the fruit of the land. But unfortunately, we know the end of the story. They would never again see the promised land. And can I say to you tonight, you and I have a temptation that when things come into our lives, circumstances and life happens and things come up in our life, financial issues, physical issues, problems in our family, problems at work, we have a temptation to take our focus off of God and focus on our problems and focus on all the negativity in our country and all the problems and all the circumstances in our churches and in our families. Can I tell you tonight, there are no giants in our lives that are too big for God to handle. We serve a great and almighty God. May we keep our focus on Him. It's so easy to turn on the news and be discouraged by what's happening in our nation. It's so easy to walk out our door and allow ourselves to be bombarded with life and all the trials and all the things that may enter in. But may I encourage you tonight, our God is bigger than our problems. Our God was bigger than the giants and the walled cities and the land. May we keep our focus upon the Lord God. As we continue, notice with me again in verse 9, they requested and they pleaded with them to remember God's promise. In verse 10, the congregation had a sad response. They lifted up their voice and they bade stone them with stones. Would you notice with me something encouraging that we find in verse 10? At the exact moment the congregation lifted up their voices in anger, they didn't like that Caleb and Joshua were reminding them of God's promise. They didn't like that. And they were angry when the people stood in opposition to them and tried to tell them what God said. People get angry at us today when we stand up and give them the Word of God. But we find here that these few people, Caleb, Joshua, Moses, and Aaron, they were standing before all the congregation of Israel. And in verse 10, the whole congregation bade stone them with stones. Man, they were angry. They were ready to kill these people. But I want you to notice in verse 10 what happens. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Friend, can I tell you tonight, there is a divine protection in the will of God. When we do what God wants us to do, He takes care of His people. At the exact moment that the entire nation was ready to stone Caleb and Joshua, in that exact moment, God appeared. The Bible says He appeared before all the congregation of the children of Israel. Man, He came in right in the nick of time. There was a divine protection for those who stood up for the Lord. Immediately the glory of the Lord appeared. Friend, can I tell you, when you do what God wants you to do, there is a divine protection there. He takes care of His children. Can you imagine being Caleb and Joshua in this moment? There was two, Moses and Aaron, that makes four that stood for God. Four people who were ready to go in and possess the land. And as they looked out, they saw a vast multitude, the entire nation of Israel, all hot and angry and ready to kill them. There's not much that these four could do against an entire nation. I mean, even if they were fit and in shape, they stood against thousands and thousands. It would have been nothing for the nation of Israel to dispose of Caleb and Joshua. Their backs were against the wall. They were in trouble. But at that exact moment, the Bible says the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. May I encourage you tonight? It may not always be easy to stand up for God. You will be outnumbered. It may not be the popular thing, but if you will do what God commands you to do, seek after God's will for your life, it does not matter what the world says. It does not matter what oppositions come your way. There is a protection in God's will. And He showed up exactly at the right time. As we continue, look at verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Boy, the children of Israel, Their spirits were broken. They disobeyed God. Even when God's people stood up to encourage them, to exhort them, they would not listen. And God's anger waxed hot against the nation of Israel. The Bible said that God was ready to wipe them out. He said, I'll smite them with the pestilence. He promised Moses, I will disinherit them. I will take care of them and I'll make a greater and a mightier nation of thee. God's anger was hot and He was ready to completely wipe them out for their disobedience. Friend, can you see a little bit of our nation in that? Our nation is in trouble tonight. We heard last week a report of things going on in our military. Can I tell you, our nation is in trouble. And it could be that God's anger has waxed hot against the United States of America for her disobedience. Here, God's anger was waxed hot against the nation of Israel. And He was ready at this point to completely take care of them. But may I encourage you, in verses 13 through 20, we find Moses' praise and we see God's mercy. Look at verse 13. Moses said unto the Lord, verse number 12, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God speaking to Moses. Now Moses responds, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which He sware unto them, therefore He hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving the iniquity of the and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Look at verse 19. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Friend, they disobeyed and God's anger was waxed hot against the nation of Israel. But we find in these verses Moses prays to God, and notice something about his prayer. It was selfless. Moses speaking to God, his prayer was selfless. You think about it. God had just given to Moses the greatest opportunity set before him. God had promised Moses, I'm done with the nation of Israel. They have disobeyed me time and time again. I will wipe them out and make a greater and mightier nation from thee. Moses had a great opportunity to be great, to have a mightier and greater nation from his seed than that of God's chosen people, Israel. Yet, he prayed on their behalf. Even though he had a great opportunity to be great, he wasn't concerned about that. And he prayed on their behalf. You know, it's interesting. Time and time again, the children of Israel were nothing but a thorn in Moses' side. I mean, they were nothing but trouble to Moses. Time and time again, they complained against him. Time and time again, they sought Moses' life. Moses continually would have to go to God on their behalf. They were trouble to him. But in spite of how much trouble they were, he had a selfless prayer. He prayed on their behalf. He was more concerned with God's reputation than he was his own. You notice in his prayer was, Lord, if you wipe them out, then all the nations that have heard the fame of the God of Israel will no longer believe in the strength and the ability of the God of Israel. He was so concerned with God's reputation, and he desired that every nation would know that the God of Israel was the one true God, that he was more concerned with what everyone thought of God than he was concerned with being great in and of himself. And because of his selfless prayer, in verses 19 and verse 20, we find the prayer of one man changed everything. Moses prayed. He sought after God. And one man's prayer turned God's wrath away on an entire nation. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you hear me? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Friends, tonight, our greatest weapon is our prayer. We can pray and we have divine access directly into the throne of grace. We can go straight to God for help. We have access to Almighty God through our prayers. And we find here that Moses lifted up his voice and he had a selfless prayer. He prayed on behalf of Israel. He prayed on behalf of the Lord God. And because of a one man's prayer, God's wrath was stayed on an entire nation. Look at verse 20. God said, I have pardoned according to thy word. For all that Israel did to anger God, one man, fully surrendered to God, turned his wrath away. Understand me tonight. I'm not preaching that sin does not have consequence. It always does. For the children of Israel, all those who murmured would never again see the promised land. They would not be allowed to enter therein. But God, in His mercy, did not utterly consume them in His anger. One man made a difference. One man, fully surrendered and on fire for God, made a difference in the nation of Israel. You know, this is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And the reason because of that is, it gives us hope tonight. This passage is living proof that there is hope. No matter how bad things may get in our country, no matter how bad things may get in our churches and in our families, there is still hope. Because one person fully surrendered to God can make all the difference in the world. Friend, let me ask you tonight. Are you seeking God on a regular basis? Is your prayer life what it ought to be? Are you concerned about what we heard last week going on in our military and all the things that are going on in our country as we lose and the biblical foundations that our country was established on have been shaken? Are you concerned with churches that are closing their doors and having fewer and fewer church services by being swept away with all the entertainment of the world? Families are broken up and Satan is on the attack more than ever before. We need prayer. We need men like Moses. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This passage is my favorite. We have hope. One man or lady, one boy or girl who is fully surrendered to God can make all the difference in the world. And we see this time and time again throughout the Word of God. This was not a one-time occurrence. This was not the only time in the Bible that we find where one man turned God's wrath away on a people. God delights in using the few. God delights in using the insignificant to make a great difference. For example, just to prove my point, look over in chapter 25 of Numbers. Numbers chapter 25. We find another example of how one person can make a difference in a country. We come to Numbers chapter 25 and we find the nation of Israel so soon had fallen into sin once again. Verse 1 says, And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Once again, Israel had fallen into sin. Just a few verses past Numbers chapter 14. And Israel's disobedience was so great that verse 6 states this, And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Friend, Israel had disobeyed in chapter 25. They had gone into Moab and allowed the Midianitish women to come in and corrupt their views and turn their backs away from God, and they began to serve the false gods of Moab. And now we find that their sin had gotten so bad and so great, the Bible says that one of the children of Israel came and he brought unto his brethren the Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation. Shamelessly, his sin was open before all the people, right in front of Moses. Their sin once again was great. God's anger once again was upon his people. And he sent plagues and many died as a result of their disobedience. But look with me in verses 7 and 8. The Bible says this, "And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel." Friend, when Phinehas, a young man, saw the wickedness going on in the camp, it disgusted him. And he made up his mind that he was going to do something about it. And that man rose up and he took care of the sin that was in the camp. And look what God said about this young man in verse 10. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy." Friend, time and time again we find one person can make all the difference in the world. The Bible said Phinehas, because he was zealous for God. He was on fire for God. He was disgusted by the wickedness that was in the camp. And one man, fully surrendered to God, turned God's wrath away on an entire country. May I encourage you tonight, we do need prayer in our country more so today than ever before. Our churches are under attack and they need prayer. They need men and women on fire for God. Our families are broken up and under attack and they need prayer. But I encourage you tonight, it does not matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how big the giants may seem and the walled cities may look. There is always hope. America is not too far gone. Our churches are not too far gone. It's not too late in our families. One can make the greatest difference. Man and woman, boy or girl, that is on fire for God, they can make all the difference in the world. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be that one. You know, the truth is, I'm probably never going to be used of God in the same way Moses was. I'll probably never stand before a nation and rain plagues down as Moses did. But can I tell you tonight, I want my life to be so that God can use me if He so chooses to. I want my life to be right. I want my life to be clean. I want to be a vessel to which God at any time can use my life. Friend, I encourage you tonight, God's looking for men and women that He can use. He can use you tonight if you'll have a life and live in such a way that He can. My desire is that if God wants to use me, my life is to where He can. We leave for camp in the morning. We're going to go for an entire week. There'll be no worldly distractions, no television, no cell phone. We'll be in a controlled atmosphere for the ministry of preaching. That's what it's all about. The entire week of camp, we're going to have fun, we're going to have games, but the entire point of it is to get our young people with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Word of God, and it's between them and with God and the Bible, and allow God to speak to their hearts. We leave in the morning at 9:15, we load the truck, and we'll be on the road between 9:30 and 10. We'll hear the Bible preached every morning and every night this coming week. Can you imagine what God could do through one of our very own teenagers? If they get on fire for God this week and they bring that fire home with them and it spreads. Friend, God can use one of our young people just like He used Moses, just like He used Phinehas. They can make a difference. Would you pray this week that God would move in our youth group? Would you pray that not only with our teenagers but with the adults going, that God would speak? The question tonight, are you and I doing our part? The country is in need. Our churches are in need. Our families are in need. Are you and I doing our part? You may say, well, I really can't make that much of a difference. You may say, well, there's no need to waste my time because the country is too far gone. The problem is too far. It's too great that we can't handle it. Friend, if that's what you think tonight, I want you to know my Bible says differently. It only takes one to make a difference. Tonight, more than ever before, will you seek to be that one? Will you decide that maybe you haven't prayed for your country like you ought to, but tonight, in just a few moments, you want to come down to this altar and you want to pray for our country and you want to begin more than you ever have to ask God to intervene. Perhaps you see the need in our churches and you want to pray. Perhaps you know a family that's in need. There may be needs in your own family, but you know of somebody who has a broken home. And you know of people that are struggling, maybe people in our very church, and they need God's help and they need God's intervention. In just a moment, when we have the invitation, would you come and let's make God's house a house of prayer. Friend, you can make a difference. Our teenagers can make a difference. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Will you decide tonight, I want to be that one? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I love You tonight and I thank You for the truths that we find in Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the example that we have of Moses, the example that we have of Phinehas, that there is always hope. As long as we have breath in our lungs and as long as You're still on the throne, there is hope in our country. There's hope in our lives. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God would speak and deal with the hearts of Thy people. Lord, may You move throughout our midst and wake some people up to the truth. They can make a difference. It's not too late. Lord, we just ask that Your will would be done in this invitation. May we respond accordingly as You've dealt with us. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.